You look with us to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. And we want to look at verses 19 through 22. If you found it, just please say, I got it. And the word of God reads on this order. And the men of the city said unto Elisha,
behold, I pray thee that the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the springs of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And this morning I want to use for a subject, it's time to reverse it. It's time to reverse it. I know right now this morning that there are situations in all of our lives that we really would like to reverse. I know that right now that there's somebody that's sitting right here in our presence today that feel like you are in a make or break situation. I know that I'm talking to somebody that needs a miracle, and I'm not talking about a year from now miracle. I'm not talking about a 6 months from now miracle, or maybe not even a week from now miracle, but I'm talking about somebody here this morning needs a right now miracle. I'm talking about an overnight kind of miracle. And if he was here yesterday, it wouldn't have been on time. But I got to stop right here. And I got to speak to some of us today to realize that somebody here needs some overnight turnarounds, a divine reversal. What are you talking about, Pastor? Somebody here needs a divine reversal in a court case. And you need God to turn that thing around. And see, the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the people, hand of the Lord, and he knows that he's allowed to turn it in any direction that he chooses. And I believe this morning that God is able to turn some things around. If you're in that court case, God can turn the heart of that judge. Somebody here needs a turnaround in your finances right now, and you don't need it next year. You need it to happen right now. Somebody here needs God to deliver and help your relationship, because it seems like your relationships are headed to the rocks. But did you not know that God is able to establish it on the rock? I'm trying to talk to somebody right now to let you know that God is the God of turnaround. Divine reversal. And see, what happens is God is able to turn curses into blessings. That's his business. See, God is a God that can turn. See, when sometimes folk think they got you cursed, what they meant for your bad, God will use it for your good. Overnight, God can turn things around. And God can turn your blessing into what somebody meant to be bad, into your blessing. In other words, look at David. David went from a nobody, an unknown, and he was on the backside of nowhere doing a job that nobody else wanted to do. Then overnight, tell somebody overnight, that he became a somebody who was now known over all of Israel as the greatest king, and he became known as the shepherd boy that was able to kill a giant. And he went from being in obscurity of nowhere to being front page news. God is able to reverse it. Then I think about Joseph. Joseph went from the pit to the palace, from prison to being a prince. I even think about Saul. Saul went from being a donkey fetcher. He should go and fetch the donkeys. And overnight, he became a king. See, one day he was chasing his daddy's donkeys, and the next day he was sitting on the throne. God is able, and it's time to reverse it. See, a lot of us find ourselves living in situations that we really shouldn't be living in. Help me, somebody. See, and while all these turnarounds took place, it tells me that while these folk were sleeping, God was working. See, while they were sleeping, God was keeping somebody up, talking to them about them. And while they were sleeping, God was working, putting things in order so they would be ready to receive his blessings. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody today who has been praying and asking God and seeking God for something, and it seemed like nothing in your life has changed. Anybody been there? See, I've been praying, I've been seeking, I've been searching, but it seemed like there's no evidence of change. But I came to tell you this morning, I got some news for you. God's been working on it. How many believe God's been working on it? See, God has been working on your situation. It's in the process. Somebody said it's in transit. It's on the way. Anybody here ever go online and order anything? See, the minute that I pay for it with my credit card, think about this now, it's mine the moment that I pay for it. But see, I have to wait a few days in order for it to show up in the mail, even though it's not in the mailbox yet. Once I give them my credit card number and they say accept it, that means that it belongs to me. And it's getting ready. I keep telling you, better get ready. It's getting ready to show up in the mailbox. See, right now, you're getting ready to receive a manifestation of all the things that God has promised you. See, Jesus paid for it with his precious blood, so it's already been paid for. It just hadn't landed in the mailbox yet. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. You can't see it right now, but it's just over the hill. There's a blessing that's waiting for you. Just around the corner, there's some glory that's waiting for you. And what happens is, glory, which means your way out, that means that there's a blessing fixing to come out of your trial and out of your situation. I know it don't look good right now, but the Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, I know it's rough right now, but I realize that God is about to reverse it. Wow. Right after the greatest battle of Jonathan's life, he came to a place where honey was falling out of trees. covered up the ground, and all he had to do was just reach out and take God's blessing. What are you talking about? God's getting ready to reverse, Pastor. I'm telling you today that God is getting ready to reverse the curse. Whew. I'm going to say, I ain't cursed. Yes, you are. Wow. Today, I'm telling you right now, and you can speak to me later, somebody's going to go home today, and you're going to discover that the atmosphere at the house has changed. Why is it changing? It's because God is in the process of reversing the atmosphere. Anybody need God to reverse it? Somebody going to go to the doctor, and the doctor's report going to be a little bit different. They're going to say, I know we saw it, and we know it was on the x-ray last time. But brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, it's gone. Why is it gone? It's gone because God is in the process of reversing it. Somebody gonna get a yes on that loan that they already said no to. Banker said nope. And you went home and you dropped your head. You say, this over. Then your phone rang. And the banker gonna say, we look back over your loan application, and I think we're gonna be able to make you the loan. What I'm trying to tell you is that somebody has some money that's supposed to be coming to you. It's been held up. Y'all looking at me crazy. But it's been released right now in the name of Jesus. I know y'all traditional Christians don't quite understand what I'm talking about. See, the Bible said that Jesus said that I will not withhold any good thing from my people. Now, if you're who you say you are, maybe you lying about who you say you are, but if you're who you say you are, I'm getting ready for that money to be released that's been held up. What you talking about, Pastor? That's been held up. See the devil. Don't want you to receive what's rightfully yours. I'm talking about reversal. Think about this. In our text right here, somebody said, what your text have to do? Watch. In our text right here, the men of the city, they come to Elisha, the prophet, and they say, Elisha, we got a problem. I got to go somewhere. A lot of you sitting in here pretending that everything is all good in your life. Just say ouch now. But your life is tore up from the floor up. See, everything that look good ain't good. You're smiling at church with your wife, but you know you fussing at the house. You're telling me, Pastor, everything is all good, and you know it's all bad. But here in the text, I got to get to this text. From the outside, everything looked pretty good. They were satisfied with being in a good location. That's what the scripture said now. Isn't that what it said in verse 19? They were satisfied with the looks and the appearance of being in a good location. But they said, we got a problem. And I want to get to the blessing, but I can't skip over this. See, how long are we going to keep going around the same mountain, fighting the same battles, struggling with the same addictions, wrestling with the same fleshly lusts and desires, falling down at the same place over and over again before you will finally admit, say, God, I got a problem. See, somebody here needs to say, God, I got a problem. See, you can't be reversed until you realize that you're going in the wrong direction. See, if you're going down a street and you don't see nothing behind you going in the same way that you are, it's highly likely that you're on a one-way street and you're headed for a collision. I'm going to get up out of there in just a second. But see, when you can't stand to see somebody else blessed with nicer things than what you have, and without becoming jealous, critical, and envious, then you got a problem. We call them haters. But that's a problem. If every time things don't go your way, and you got to get up and run to the refrigerator and guard yourself, then you got a problem. If you get angry every time somebody don't agree with you, then you got a problem. The only thing you can say is, help me, Lord, I got a problem. And I come to tell you that the only problem that can't be fixed is one that can't be admitted. But these folk took their, they recognized that they had a problem, and they took it to the right place. You can go to AA all you want to, drug rehab all you want to, anger management all you want to, marriage counseling all you want to, stress reduction classes all you want to, but all these ain't nothing but band-aids to the situation. I know we got some pastors in this town that think they got it all in control. How they gonna counsel you on marinades on the rocks? I'm talking about us. Us. Amen. But see, there's one who's able. See, think about this. These folk took their problem to the right situation. You don't take your car to the dentist to get it fixed. You don't ask a plumber to fix your teeth. And you definitely don't want a janitor operating on your brain. They all might be nice people, but there's a right person for the job that you gotta go to the right person. Now, you might have some good friends, but you can't go to your friends for deliverance because they're struggling with the same situation that you're dealing with. But I just say, God, help me somebody. I got a problem. And I need you to reverse it. When you're in a fight, in a struggle, wrestling with an issue, spiritual, financial, emotional, sexual, whether it's an addiction, whatever it is, you better go to a higher authority than yourself. Somebody that can show you what it looks like to be free. You better take it to the rock. Now, from the outward appearance, I'm getting ready to get up out of here. The city appeared to be a good city, but the water was messed up. The water was poison. Amen. And the water was cursed. And see, it carried a poison that made the ground barren. In other words, it didn't kill the people, but it killed their future. Wasn't killing the men or women of the tree, but it was killing the fruit. And see, but somebody recognized that something needed to change. Now, the Living Bible says that the water was causing the women to miscarry. And that means nothing was carried to a full term and nothing was being birthed. Gonna stop here for a minute. Right now, some of us have allowed poison to enter into our hearts, which is the life stream of life. You've become unproductive. Your life has become barren. I'm talking to somebody. You have no peace. You have no joy. You have no passion for life. And you're full of bitterness and anger and resentment. You let envy, strife, and jealousy sneak into your heart. And it ends up drying you up. And before long, you'll realize that your life stream has become poison. Proverbs 4:23 says that, keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of the heart comes the issues of life. And until you get whatever it is out of your heart, your life will forever be barren. And everything you touch will become poison. Every endeavor. Nobody will want to be around you. You're poisoning your relationships. You're poisoning your ministries. And see, what happens is you carry these toxins around, and before long, you will become a dream killer. You'll find yourself hating anybody and everybody that's trying to walk into their destiny. That's what happens in church, folks. The biggest problem that we have is that we want to blame somebody else. Blame it on the preacher. Blame it on the boss. Blame it on your spouse. Blame it on those hypocrites at church. Sometimes we even blame the environment. It's where I was born, what I didn't have, what I couldn't do. But think about this. The problem is me. And there's no deliverance until you admit what the problem really is. Not my brother, not my sister, but Lord, it's me that's standing in the need of prayer. So these men said, everything around us is not the problem. It's in the stream. And it's the bitter waters that are cursing the ground. And right now, we are losing our future. Why? Because no babies are being born. What's happened is this. These men made a decision to fight for their future. They decided, I'm going to fight for my destiny. I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight for my kids, because their seed was being destroyed. And one of the greatest fears that the devil had is that one day you really might walk into the destiny that God intended you. Because see, that scares the devil to death. Why? Because you have divine DNA that was put into you before you were even born. And every time the devil looks at you, he sees your potential. He says, I got to destroy his destiny. The devil believes in you more than you believe in yourself. He's afraid that the seeds that you carry, your potential, might overtake him. He's a dream killer. See, Joseph carried in him the seed of greatness in the form of a dream. And the dream seed, what caused his brothers to want to kill him. Not because of, at that time, who he was, but they were afraid of who he might become. And right now, the devil is afraid of who you might become. But tell them, I'm a child of the king. See, when they looked at Joseph, when we look in Genesis chapter 37, they say, well, we'll kill him, we'll throw him in a pit, and maybe some, we'll just tell him that a beast came and ate him up, and then we'll see what happens to his dream. And right now, somebody wants to destroy your dream. They don't want you to see you walk into your destiny. It was not Joseph. They feared the little brother, but they feared Joseph the dreamer. And the men of the city said, this is not right. I know our city looks good, but something's wrong in the water. Because our destiny is being taken from, so they decided that their future was worth fighting for. Now, how many of you believe that your future is worth fighting for? Are you willing to fight for your children? Fight for the destiny of your grandchildren? Fight for your health? Fight for your dreams? Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you, if you want it, you're going to have to fight for it. The devil's not going to sit back and let you just waltz into your destiny and say, I made it. But he's going to cause every problem to rise up against you. Your children, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, the apostles, preachers. Why? Because he knows that this is what would destroy me. And right now, God, it's time to reverse it. We become barren, unproductive, no spiritual birth, and these men recognized it was time for a change. And I believe today that somebody is going to make a choice for a change today. I believe that somebody is going to say, God, I'm ready to change. I realize that life is not supposed to be like this. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as you put up with it, you're going to have it. There's a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah was satisfied just to be the favored wife of Elkanah. She was favored, but stop, watch this. She was fruitless. She was blessed, but she was barren. And it wasn't until Elkanah's other wife by the name of Peninnah began to provoke her and pick that. In other words, she's saying, I done had a baby by your other husband, your husband, and guess what? And you ain't got one. So right now, look at you, you barren. And at first it just agitated her, a small irritation. But finally it got to a place where she said, God, I need to be delivered from the curse. And the Bible said, and she came to the man of God and said, I need to be delivered. And God delivered her from her barrenness. And he opened up her womb and he reversed the curse. You got to realize that the word of God is the final authority. The curse is very real. Maybe you've been laboring up under the curse all your life. Let me tell you right now that there are all kind of curses. Amen. There's a curse of sickness and disease. There's a curse of poverty and lack. Doesn't matter how hard you work. Work overtime and double time and triple time, and it seems like you still can't get out of debt. Anybody been there? There's somebody in here. You don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit it. Somebody in here, I just came to tell you, that's the curse. There's a curse of addiction. There's a curse of fear. There are generational curses that run from generation to generation. I know I'm talking to somebody. Anybody here ever seen the curse that seems to be that seems like some things just run in your family? That's called a generational curse. But let me tell you, there's also the curse of witchcraft where others operate up under the power of darkness and they produce dark sayings to pronounce evil over your life. But you better tell somebody, God is getting ready to reverse it. In fact, sometimes the Bible says the one that knew no sin had to become sin. In other words, what happened is it says that cursed is a man that hangeth from a tree, and Jesus had to go to the cross because you and I were cursed. I know I'm talking to somebody. Just like Hannah, she was blessed, but she was barren. She had favor, but see, she was not productive in her life. And see, what happens is that there are so many curses. There's even the universal curse called sin. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to leave you right there. There's a thing called a blessing. And see, the blessing is greater than the curse. I came to tell somebody, I don't care what kind of curse has been over your life or how long it's been there. I don't care if it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations. It really doesn't matter. The blessing is greater than the curse. Think about this. Sometimes God will allow us to go through some things, and we feel like because we're going through, that's where we have to stay. But I came to tell you this morning that cursed is not your destiny. God is about to reverse it. Anybody here need God to reverse something in your life? I'm getting ready to close now, and I'm telling you right now that there is a divine reversal that's getting ready to take place. Curses are being broken. And decisions are being overturned, and God is reversing the curse. What happens is when we read here in our text that the prophet said, now I need you to bring me some salt. and I'm going to pour it into the water. And once he poured it into the water, the Bible said that the water became uncursed. And right now, we need God to pour his spirit into our lives in order to reverse the curse. Some of y'all looking at me like you're kind of crazy. And I don't realize, maybe you don't understand what situation that you're in. Every time you look into your wallet and it's empty, it ain't nothing but the curse. I'm talking to somebody. When you find yourself hanging around the doctor's office all the time, it's nothing but the curse. Somebody said, no, I'm not cursed. Yeah, you're cursed. Let me tell you why. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it caused all of us to begin to live under the curse. Somebody is getting ready for God to change some things in your life. Anybody here ready for God to change something? But in order to get a change, you got to admit, God, I've got a problem. I've got something that I'm dealing with. And even though it looks right, God, I know it's not right. Because I find myself doing things that I shouldn't do. I find myself in situations that I shouldn't be involved in. Can I give you an example? There were a tribe of Judah known as the tribe of Gad. And the tribe of Gad were part of God's original 12 tribes. And at that time, Jews don't deal with pigs nor eat pork. But the Bible says, when you read about the man that known as the Gadarene, that when they got there and the demons were delivered, that he cast the demons into the swine and the swine ran off the cliff. But the reason they were raising pigs is because they chose to go a different way than God intended, and they found themselves living up under the curse. And what happens is with us, it's when you find yourself broke all the time, you're living up under the financial curse. If I'm sick all the time, I'm living up under the disease curse. If I'm complaining all the time, I'm living up under the depressed curse. But thanks be unto God, who's able to give me the victory. Anybody here know that God is able? He's able. Anybody here need God to reverse it? Anybody here need God to turn it around? Just tell God, God, I need you to turn it around. The Bible says that we ought to be the head and not the tail. That's called reversing it. The Bible says we ought to be the lender and not the borrower. That's called the reversal. Anybody here been living in sin and you know you're not living like God wants you to? Then just say, God, I need you to put it in reverse. I want you to take me back to my original state that you intended for me to be. And say, God, I want to be blessed. I want your favor. I want to be productive. I don't want to live up under the curse anymore. Anybody here been living up under the curse of addiction? Some folk living up under the curse to every time I try to do right, it seems like I'm doing wrong. It's just called living up under the curse. But I tell you, if you call on God, he's able to reverse your situation. He'll take your sadness and turn it into happiness. And you'll say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Anybody here got some joy? A joy, unspeakable joy. Somebody said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. When I think about where the Lord has brought me from, I wasn't fit to live, but I wasn't ready to die. And he reached way down. I brought me up out of the horrible pit because I was headed down the road to hell. But God allowed me to do a U-turn. I did a 360 from being hell-bound to heaven-bound. I'm not all that I ought to be, But I thank God I'm not what I used to be, because he turned. Tell somebody, he turned. He turned that situation around. What situation you talking about, Pastor? I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't have any good news. It seemed like it's all over for you. The only thing I can tell you is just go home and try to live at peace. But then you went to another doctor, the chief physician, the heart specialist, the rheumatologist, the oncologist, said, Jesus, I want you to heal my body. I want you to turn this situation around. And then you go back to the doctor, and they begin to look at the x-ray and said, I know I saw a tumor here. I know I saw a mass here, but something has happened and I can't explain it. I say, doctor, sit down for a minute. You lay on the cot and let me tell you what happened. I called on Dr. Jesus, and he made me. He knows all about me. I said, God, I want you to do a heart transplant. I want you to take out this old stony heart and give me a heart of love. And God turned that situation around. And I know somebody said that your blood wasn't flowing right. The red corpuscles were eating up the white corpuscles. But you know what? God turned that situation around. Somebody here been in trouble, and the judge said, I'm going to have to give you about 30 or 40 years. But then that night, somebody took the time and they went down in prayer and said, God, I need you. God, I need you to turn this situation around. And the judge said, court recess for the day. We'll meet back again in the morning. Somebody say, in the morning. And then the next day, when you get to court, the judge say, well, I looked over your record, and then I talked to your pastor, and he said he thought that you might turn out to be a pretty good person. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give you probation for about 5 years. And instead of giving you 30 years locked up, that's because God reversed the situation. Anybody here know he's able to reverse the curse? Somebody been struggling, straining, didn't know how you were going to make it from check to check. They came to you and they told you that you're going to be laid off from your job. But you said, I know that there's a higher power. See, what happened is, watch God do this. Tell somebody, watch God do this. I was working a job. I was making $7.25 an hour. They laid me off. And somebody said all hope was gone. But after a few weeks of being laid off, the telephone rang and said, are you looking for a job? We got a job. It don't pay much. It pay about $10.50 an hour. Can you go to work tomorrow? That's called God reversing. He can do it. Ever had children and it seemed like they just won't do right? Seemed like every time, if it ain't one thing, it's another. But then all of a sudden, you look up and you begin to talk to your children, and the son that was talking stupid all of a sudden start talking like they got some sense. That's called God reversing the situation. Anybody here need God to reverse it? If you need God to reverse it, get up on your feet. Let's stir up the atmosphere. He's getting ready to turn it around. He's getting ready to turn it around. See, right now, he's finna change the complaining into praise. See, he's worthy. He's worthy. Anybody here know God is worthy of all your praise? He'll turn it around. Has he turned it around for you? Has he turned it around for you? Can he made a way out of no way? Has he opened doors that were closed in your face? Has he healed your body? Has he taken care of your children? Has he taken care of your loved one? Has he taken care of your husband? Taken care of your wife? Looked out
for your church. God will. God will. God will turn that thing around. Tell somebody it ain't over till they say it's over. It ain't over. I'm getting ready to get up out of here now. Take me up, son. I'm getting ready to go now. I'm getting ready to go now. Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story? They say one time there was an old farmer that lived out on an old raggedy farm. And while he was in town, they tell me that the old mule, anybody know something about a mule? They tell me that the mule fell off in the well. And when the farmer got home, he said, I can't see old Bessie. And then he walked over by the well and he heard the old donkey saying to help. But I said, Bessie, you're too heavy. Ain't nothing I can do to get you out of there. And they tell me that he began to get a shovel and he began to throw some dirt over in the well and said, at least I'll give Bessie a good burial. And about that time, the small help went help. There's something going on, but he kept on shoveling, and after a while, he looked around, and the old mule stepped up out the well. He said, Bessie, how'd you get up out the well? He said, well, every time you threw dirt up on me, I just packed it, shook it off, and packed it under my feet. And after a while, I got higher, and after a while, I stepped out. Because God, tell somebody God, turn that situation around. Is there anybody here that know God can turn that situation around? But in order to get that turnaround, you got to admit, Lord, there's a problem that I need correcting. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame your family.
That's right.
Don't blame the church members.
Amen.
Just say, God, it's me.
All right.
And right now, do you know that it's you? How many of you need God to turn this situation around?
E-flat.
How many of you need God to turn a situation around? And right now, don't worry about your neighbor. I want you to just say, God, come on, Brenda, it's me.
It's me.
It's me.
All right. It's me.
Somebody say, it's me.
It's me again.
All right.
I hate to keep bothering you, Lord, but it's me.
It's me.
Oh.
It's me
again.
Have you talked to him?
I call you.
Yeah.
Early. Early this morning. And I talked to him late last night. Oh, it's me.
It's me.
It's me.
If you know your waters have been poured to God, it's me. It's me.
Oh, it's me again.
Will there be one this morning?
I hate to keep bothering, Lord, but it's me. Talk to you late last night. through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Oh, do it all. Do it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. You ever been through something? Trust in Jesus. Yeah, I've learned.